Good morning and welcome to the Sam and Manu Show.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you, Manu?
I am quite tired.
You are, huh? Well, join the club. You know, I got about 4 hours of sleep last night. How many did you get?
Maybe about two.
2 hours. Oh, wow. You beat me this time.
I did. I don't know how.
Yeah. So what were you doing till 4 o'clock?
I was out enjoying the nightlife.
The nightlife?
Yeah.
Oh, you're such a partier. I'm glad that you do that, though. I'm glad you do. I was thinking about it the other day because I sure don't, you know. So
well, you being single
now and everything, you just go all over the place and enjoy yourself, which is good. So I can live vicariously through you.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Well, yeah, it's quite interesting. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened?
Well, it all started off, my girlfriend and I, we, you know, go on Craigslist. We go through all the castings and everything like that to see what's going on out there.
Right.
We found this casting, you know, stating looking for the third host. You know, kind of like the Howard Stern versus The View thing.
Uh-huh.
And basically they were looking for someone to be a socialite at nighttime to, you know, like bring in all the gossip and everything like that, you know, to be the socialite, so to speak.
Right.
And so it stated, send off your headshots, resume via email, but also email a separate email address to get your name on the list, because it stated that turn up to this particular club in Hollywood and don't bring your headshot or resume, however, but you'll be on the guest list, and what we're going to be doing is just seeing how you groove and move in the, you know, in the environment, and how you socialize and blah blah blah.
So you have to go there and mingle with people and socialize.
Yes.
And you can audition for that?
Well, anyway. Okay.
I mean, what is
so
this?
I know.
Let's watch how you get along with people.
Yeah, let's watch how you get along with people, because that, you know, supposedly that's what the position was for, or that's what they were casting for.
Uh-huh.
So we were given a name to say at the door. You know, his name is Anakin. I'm going to throw that one out.
Oh,
Anakin.
Yeah? Anakin Vader, right?
Or, yeah, Anakin Vader.
Whatever,
Anakin Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so we turn up, and already in the back of my mind, I said to Tiger, I said, well, you know, sounds kind of, you know, fishy or whatever, but, you know, hey, what the hell? We've got our names on the door.
Right.
Let's see,
uh-huh.
You know, let's see what the hell it's all about anyway.
Right, right. So you went with your friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tiger and I. We got all fancied up and off we go.
Right.
So we get to the club. It's called Level 3 in the Highland, Park on the corner of Highland and Hollywood Boulevard.
Right, near the Kodak Theater.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Actually, it's quite a neat club. It's a really nice club.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was all a hoax.
It was all a hoax.
Yes, because apparently, when I think about it, this is what I think happened. Someone had hired or rented out the space for a particular thing, saying that it was a pre-Emmy party, and that's what the statement was. It was a pre-Emmy party. You know, such and such is going to be there, and all these other people going to be there. So, you know, we're expecting to, you know, see the whole shing ding and caboodle, so to speak.
Right. Uh-huh.
Anyways, so we turn up there and absolutely nobody was there.
You're the only ones there?
Well, yeah, we were the first people to walk in.
Yeah, was
but
the person?
By the end of the night, there was hardly anyone there. It was a hoax.
Yeah.
And I think they did this thing over Craigslist because, you know, they figured, well, we're not going to get any people, so how do we get people in here? Oh, I know what we can do. Let's put out a fake audition, so to speak, you know,
uh-huh.
and see how many people show up.
But what for? Why would they do that?
To get people in the club.
Oh, to the club. I hear what you're saying.
To get people into the club.
I see. Okay.
Because the people who had hired it out for the night obviously didn't, wasn't too sure about, you know, their quote.
The response?
The response and everything like that.
Okay, but how do you explain that you're the only ones that showed up? I mean,
no, we weren't the only ones. I mean, there was like a bunch of people that were showing up.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, as soon as you go in and you realize that it's a hoax and it's full of shit.
Yeah. But you assume it was a hoax. You don't know for sure.
I assumed it was.
Right.
Well, no. It was definitely a hoax on that part of things. Right. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was just a ploy to get people.
Okay.
And beautiful women.
Okay, so you fell for
women.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
So you
But I already prepared myself for that. I was like, you know, this kind of sounds like weird, but hey, what the hell? But we did get in the club for free.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool. It's a really nice club, believe it or not.
Well, I mean, you're bound to get into situations like this. I mean, you picked
a
profession.
Oh, it's not the first time.
You picked a profession that requires doing a lot of weird things.
Yeah.
And going to weird places and talking to weird people, you know?
Yeah.
And, so, I mean, that's what you chose. So, these things are going to happen.
I know. It didn't upset me.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't let me down.
Right.
I just got to go into this club that I never knew was there.
Yeah.
And it was rather cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, it was cool.
Good.
Tiger and I had a really nice time. We ended up having a fantastic night, actually.
Yeah.
We met the manager of the club.
Right.
And also one of his people, I think the manager of the bar.
Right.
And they took care of us very well. And
why did you meet the manager? How did that come about?
Because I'm a sexy, saucy woman. I
see.
All dressed up. And
so they approached you?
Yeah, he approached. Well, the manager did.
Oh, yes. Very nice.
So, and we got talking, and then we were talking the entire night.
Really?
Yeah. And then...
What were you talking about?
Everything.
Everything. Okay.
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how I got to find out a little bit about what was going on and that, so... Yeah, he says, nah, it's a hoax. This is, you know.
So that's what he told you?
Yeah, and it's not on him, though. It wasn't on him
or
anything.
Right, it's the people that rented out the club.
It is the promoters who rented out the club, unfortunately.
So you stayed there till 4 o'clock in the morning?
Well, no. we were there until definitely close. We were there until about 2:30, I think it was.
Wow.
And the reason being, is the whole place got closed down. Tiger and I, the only ones left standing. you know.
You just didn't want to go home. You had too much fun.
Yeah, just socializing with, you know, the staff and the manager. And he says... He had said, oh, yeah, I also manage Lucky Strike.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Lucky Strike?
No.
Okay. Well, in the Highland Building,
right,
there's also a bowling alley, but it's not your regular bowling alley.
Yeah.
It turns out that it's a nightclub bowling alley.
I see. Okay, so people drink and stuff, and they go bowling.
It's a nightclub with lounges. They took us down there to check it out.
Right.
And he turned on the music and turned the lights down to, you know, to let it, you know, have us see what it's like and everything. And it was like the coolest place. It's like, oh my God, this is like it's a really cool concept.
So did you bowl?
So
what time did you go there?
It was about 2:30.
So the bowling alley was open at 2:30?
No, it was closed down.
Okay.
It was closed down. Right. We were the only ones there.
Right.
Me, Tiger, and the manager.
No, but wait a minute. You have a club and then you have a bowling place, or is that the same place you're talking about?
It's in the same building.
The same building, okay.
Same building. Different clubs, though.
Okay.
Different clubs, though.
Okay.
So we go down, and I was like, oh my God, it's a bowling alley. It's really great. It's a great place. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, can I throw, you know, can I do a bowling thing?
Yeah.
Now, I'm in... I would say, like 4-inch heels, you know, with a sassy dress and everything like that.
Yeah.
So I go find my ball. And I mean, I've had a few to drink too, mind you.
So you decided to bowl.
So I decided.
But the place was closed.
The place was closed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The place was closed.
So you go bowling and they turn on the machines for you and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just threw a couple of balls. That's all.
Okay. You know, where did you throw them exactly?
In down the lane.
Yeah. And you probably gutted them both, right?
But you should have seen me. You should have seen me the first
time. Do
you
bowl like with both hands?
Both hands.
Like some people.
But you
do.
Just should have seen me in my high heels and my little sexy dress.
I can imagine, yeah.
And then it was all in
you
slow
couldn't be
motion.
Bothered. You couldn't be bothered to put on shoes, bowling shoes. Huh?
No.
Okay.
No, it was all in slow motion, Sam. Uh-huh. I was like, I went down, did the whole swing back. I did the forward. And then, of course, you know, I started falling over. And it was this graceful twist, turn, ball goes down. I almost knocked the whole 10 pins down. I had 4 pins
really?
Standing.
Wow, I wish we had a video camera there.
You should have seen it. Yeah. You should have seen it. Yeah. And they were like, oh, that was classic. It was just the most graceful fall you've ever seen someone do.
Yeah.
And I was all sprawled out on the bowling lane. Yeah. Like, there, look. 4 pins still standing.
Yeah, and now the manager was with you the whole time?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't really think he wanted to bang you, right?
No.
Why?
Well, no, there was absolute no intentions there.
How do you know? How do you know?
Well, he didn't press himself against me, if
okay,
that's what you're
insinuating.
Okay, well,
no, but I'm sure he was hoping for something, you know? I mean, come on, it's a man, okay?
And no, it just turned out to be a really good night, good conversation.
Right. No, no, I'm not taking that away from you.
No,
you know,
breath
but,
of, you know, he said...
So he didn't make any moves or any innuendos?
No, not
okay,
at all.
Good.
No,
good for you. Okay.
Not at all.
Because I wonder how you would have handled it if it did happen.
Oh, know? I play it off. Darling.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. You know,
do you
that
have
kind
people
of stuff?
Hitting on you sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, at the club last night, yes, I had a few people hit on me. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
good.
I'm sorry.
Well, a club is a place to do that. But, I mean,
yes,
do you
I
have
know.
People hitting on you, like, at Starbucks or on the street or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Really?
I've been stopped, yeah.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
Even in
do you
cars.
Like, it?
Like, even driving in cars.
Yeah, do you like it?
Honk, honk, honk.
You like the attention?
Actually, no. Well, no. Yes and no. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
mean, I would...
You know what?
I wouldn't know what it's like for someone to stop me at the street... you know, thinking I'm sexy or something, you know.
Well, you know what? Actually, I actually think it's almost, well, it's flattering for one thing. It is flattering.
Right.
And I'm very grateful. I never say like, oh, you know, yeah, whatever, or anything like that. And because there are too many women, I think, around that don't have that happen to them. All the time. Do you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And it happens to me regularly, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Because there's
a
lot of people out there that it doesn't happen
exactly.
to.
Exactly. So it's good for the ego. You like it, you know. It's just that I think some women don't like to be hit on. You know, it seems like they're sort of like they resent it, you know. And so that's why I was asking
it.
You.
No.
Yeah, I mean, because I would think if someone pays attention to you, you know, what the hell, you know, go along with it.
Well, actually, yesterday, a homeless man, you know, I was waiting for the lights to change to walk across the street, and he was standing next to me, and I just looked at him, was like, oh, hello.
Yeah.
And he
so
goes,
you were hitting on him.
No. He turned to me, and he just like, wow, you're a beautiful woman.
Really?
I said, well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I says, like, you have a beautiful day.
Nice.
And he says, you too.
Oh,
you know, so, you know, it doesn't matter where it comes from.
Yeah, I guess not. But then again, you're a very nice person. Very sociable
person.
Yeah,
I'm very,
you know,
I like to smile.
I
like to make people
like
smile.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. I was experimenting with that yesterday. For some reason, I had this flow with me. And when I was walking, you know, back to the garage there.
Right.
It was like I was... feeling like I was exuding happiness, and everyone I looked out, I smiled and I said hello, and it was amazing the response that I was getting. It's
really?
Like I'm gonna make people smile.
Yeah
have you ever tried
feeling.
That Sam?
No
you should. It feels really good, and I know it makes other people feel really good.
Yeah
it's a nice feeling. It's good.
What's good?
To make people smile.
Well, of course.
Well, if you
course.
smile. You know, get the eye contact.
Yeah, no,
a lot
I
of
always
are
smile.
Afraid.
No, I wasn't
people
listening
are afraid
to
for eye contact.
Yeah, they are. They are. A lot of people turn their eyes down, and which I want to ask you something about. But the thing is that I'm always the one smiling first when I see people.
Yes.
You know, some of them don't give a shit. Some will smile back. You know.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's from rudeness. I think often people are just shy, insecure.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you're
you
right.
You know, things like that.
I think
but,
so. Or just not used, they're like, oh, what are they smiling at me for? Or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
You okay there, sweetie?
No, really. I'm choking on my coffee. But I wanted to ask you, you know, because I noticed that sometimes when, like if I cross a street or if I, if I walk at the mall, in the mall or something, or you know, where I walk and then there's a woman coming the other way, right? I often see them like looking down, checking out their tits, you know, to make sure. I don't know. They do that. They do that, and it makes me wonder. You know, it's like they become self-conscious if a man's going to look at them. So I think immediately, I don't think they realize that, but I see that so often, you know, where so the woman would just kind of look down, and you can see she's checking to make sure that her tits are okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the clothing, I guess, over the boobs is okay. You
right.
know? And that always made me wonder.
I never saw that on a man's point of view.
Yeah, yeah, because you never had to face it. But I've noticed it, and it happens quite a bit, you know. And
I'd like to think. That, Sam.
I'd like to think.
Yeah.
That it's because they think I'm like handsome, and then they, you know, they're like, okay, they become self-conscious of do I look right?
Right.
You know? I mean, sometimes in a car, I can see that if someone, do you ever like catch driver's eyes in the mirror when they're in front of you?
Yes.
Where they're looking at you and stuff? Yeah. So sometimes I see that
I usually give them a little wave.
You do, huh? You're so fucking weird. But, you know, so sometimes that would happen where I can see a woman would like, I can see her eyes looking in her rear view mirror.
Right.
And then she'll start straightening out her hair and look in the mirror to make sure that her face is okay. You know, so I think, I'm hoping that maybe it's me who's leading them to do these things, you know, maybe make them like, okay, well, I need, because I think when you find other attractive people, you want to be at your best.
Right.
You know,
want
people
true.
To look at you.
Yeah.
So, but maybe I'm just deluding myself, and they don't even fucking notice me.
No, I think you're a handsome man.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, but,
you know,
I do.
But I don't know that I would make people nervous, you know. So I'm very unthreatening.
I think you're unthreatening.
Yeah,
you know.
Good.
And I think smiling to other people is important. And you know what? If in particular women, who's going to go like, oh, what's he looking at? You know, too bad.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
Smile, lighten up people. You know, you have to.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, you know the Victoria's Secret catalogs that they send?
Yes.
Do you get them in the mail sometimes?
No.
You don't, huh?
No.
Okay. Well,
do you?
Who do you think they're, well, no, my wife does, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people do, but, they, I guess when, after you shop there, they probably have your name or something and whatever. Anyway, so my question is, who do you think that catalog is geared to? What group?
Wow. With those sexy models, and those models are phenomenal, so I'm going to say men.
Men are going to buy this stuff?
Well,
no, come on.
I don't think men go out and buy the magazine, or you know
it's
what I mean?
It's not a magazine, it's
for
a catalog.
Them. It's a catalog,
right,
okay?
Right.
But
they send it to women.
They send it to women.
Yeah.
But the women kind of look through it, it's like, oh, that's so nice, or I don't know. I mean,
okay.
I would imagine.
Okay, let me ask you
like
this.
It's like very sexy to look at, and I think if a man looks at it, it's like, wow,
yeah,
that's
but let me ask
hot.
You this. Do you think the products, okay, the clothes, do you think they would look good on any woman?
No.
So, who would it look good on?
On, well, look at my bra.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Victoria's Secret bra.
Okay. All right.
So, it looks all good. Right.
Yeah.
And I got this like...
That's not a tiger, that's a cheetah, according to Nene, right?
Yes, I remember. That was so funny.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So, what about your bra?
You know, I mean, but the... It's very sexy. I think it's just lured towards women wanting to be sexy. And
right.
I think that's probably what those models are. They're like exuding sex you know, everything like that.
Yeah.
So with Victoria's Secret's wear, even, and there is a point I have noticed in Victoria's Secret's, there is a certain size that it goes up to, and then, I'm sorry, it's not going to fit anymore.
Really?
You know
well,
what I mean?
So I've got news for you.
Ooh.
I've got news for you, okay? Because let me tell you what. When I see the catalog, I figured, yeah, it's for women that want to feel sexy.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And they put all the beautiful models, like, you know, I mean, they go through the drill, right?
Yeah.
But what I think is that they gear this towards everyone, not just towards skinny girls. So what I'm here to tell you is I looked on their website, and they have extra large sizes, okay? And which, like size 18 or something? Is that big on a woman?
Yeah.
That's a huge size, right? Well, they have size 16 and 18.
Wow.
And for those clothes, for those sexy clothes that you're seeing. So
is
my question
bras
is...
bras or underwear everything, or is everything?
Everything. Everything. And, you know, so my question is, you know, they're trying to make fat women feel sexy.
Yeah.
But I mean, can you imagine someone like, you know, like 160, 200 pounds, you know, I mean, not even that fat, you know, but, you know, putting on those fucking clothes. I mean, she's going to look like a fucking clown, you know. I mean, give me a fucking break.
Like so, Monique?
Yeah.
Monique, she's like all out there like, I'm fat and I'm beautiful. No, thank you. Put the clothes back on.
Yeah. No, I mean, so I find the whole thing fucking absurd, you know? I mean, you know, it's like they're selling fantasies, you know? Obviously, I don't think I'm making a revelation here.
No,
they're selling fantasies.
Yeah.
And people go for it, you know? I just, I would hate to see a 200-pound woman that wears a size 18 wearing like a 90 or a teddy or... I don't know what.
Or sexy G-string.
Yeah, something like that, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, a big ass like that, you need a lot of support, you know. You can't afford a G-string, you know. No thongs for you.
No, definitely not.
Yeah,
definitely not.
So that's that.
Yeah.
And,
well.
I just, before you go on, I just wanted to remind everyone that you can
call us.
On a,
what? Yeah. That you can call us, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. You see, a week later and you already can finish the sentences for me. But our phone numbers are toll-free 866-515-6977. If you call from outside the U.S., it's 323-284-2554. And so you can call us anytime. These numbers work for all the shows, of course. And... you know, we've got the daily lineup, and then we have the weekly shows. So check out our schedule and enjoy, because we're really fine-tuning this the station. We're getting a lot more new talent and stuff, a lot of guests. I mean, I'm getting, like, tremendous response. It's like everybody wants to be associated with
it. I saw your ad yesterday
on Craigslist.
And I forwarded on to Tiger.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did a lot of people, and that's a nice thing. You know, is that Craigslist is an amazing. It's a genius.
It is genius.
Thing, you know?
However, you know, just like I was explaining that, you know, faux audition. You know that fake bullshit.
Yeah. They do have fake stuff there.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
You just have to be careful.
Yeah.
And you do have to screen them and not be so. Naive.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody responds to those ads that are looking for nude women and things like that. You know?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do.
You think there are
people?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can find anything in this town, you know. I mean,
yeah.
We've got so many people looking for work and actors and actresses. By the way, did you hear that the strike is just about over?
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah.
But
it's possible that by Monday, people will be back to work.
Yeah, I don't think the industry is going to recover just overnight, though.
No, of course not.
No.
Of course not. But the thing is, at least things will get moving.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure the recession is not, or the impending recession is not going to help. But they've really paralyzed this town because we really depend on entertainment, you know, and namely movies.
And a lot of people in Los Angeles depend on this industry for work.
Yeah.
You know, for any part of the industry, whether you're doing background acting, whether you're doing key grip,
everything related.
Ripping, electrician, you name it, all the unions.
Yeah.
you know, that's affiliated behind the scenes.
It's amazing how we never realize how much we depend on writers for good entertainment, you know. But without a writer, you don't have a story.
Yeah.
You know. So they're pretty important, and obviously they feel that way too, and that's why we have this ongoing strike here. But but I'm glad to announce that I just read that today they're probably going to sign a 3-year contract, you know, and that'll keep them going.
Right. Well, whoever, my God, they shouldn't have gone on strike, because, you know, Paris Hilton is out with her new film. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, she was on David Letterman and she was talking about it.
Hottie and the Naughty.
Right.
It's just like, oh my God.
I know. And what did she say? It's something like something about Mary and a cross with a cross between something about Mary and American Pie.
Right.
So you already know what to expect. You know. I mean, those were funny movies, but to quote those in the same sentence with Paris Hilton, I don't think so.
I know. I'm just like dying. Yeah. It's like,
but
oh,
you know
God.
What? It's like she is. She's so stunningly beautiful, I think.
I think so too.
You can't get your eyes off of her. You know. I mean, she's so ditzy and you know, and just like, I mean, it's like you can hear her ears whistle when she walks. There's nothing in between. And, you know, and David Letterman was kissing her ass because he had made some comments, I guess, when she went into the slammer. You know, and so she sits there and she's come up with any kind of product you can think of, you know, including hair extensions, which was interesting because
she's got a line of hair extensions.
Yeah, and I know I'm not going to say the name because it was a client of mine for about 2 weeks in accounting. So I know how much they paid her for that to endorse the product. But believe me, they're fucking putting this all over the place.
But
you know,
I heard
you can imagine
they were horrible. I heard that
the hair
extensions
are
horrible.
Really?
Yeah. That came from a film that I did last year. They were doing my hair, and we got on the subject of Paris Hilton about the hair extensions and everything.
Right.
And the hair artist for the film, she says, "Oh, they're the worst."
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what to.
Yeah, mean. Really, I don't know.
I've never done hair extensions.
A lot of money.
Thank God I've got good hair.
I'm thinking of getting some. You know, I like to have long hair. No, I've always wanted to have like shoulder length hair, but my hair is too thick. You know, or maybe it was. Maybe now it's not so much. You know,
but now that it's
graying a lot, I don't think I look good. You know, I mean, when I see men my age with a long white hair or gray hair or silver hair, I mean, they look like a witch. You know, that's what they look like. It's just not. It doesn't look right. You know,
it doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't fit at all. You know, and I don't know. It takes a special person to look good in hair like that, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
But I would love. I mean, I would love to have some long hair. You know. Actually, you're talking about Rambo.
Ever?
I remember the original Rambo. You know, after you saw Rocky and his hair was all chopped up, you saw Rambo and he had long hair. And I thought he looked good at the time.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so. I wonder if this new Rambo film, he's got long hair. Or does he have short hair?
I don't know. I didn't see it. But he's probably going to look a lot like the original movies. So,
But, you know, he did 80% of the stunts in
that
film.
That is amazing.
Film.
Huh? He's what, 61?
62.
Okay. And, and he does most of his stunts.
Yeah. He went through training with people from the Navy SEALs and a couple of other special forces groups.
You know, I mean,
special stunt training and everything like that, just so that he could do his own stunts. They allowed him to do it because he is in top notch, you know, fitness
shape,
level
and
everything. So
he's in good shape. But, you know, I remember, I mean, he had such a body, such a muscular body when he did the movies that he actually convinced you that one man can defeat an entire fucking army, you know? It was believable. And so I think that it has a lot to do with it. I remember at the time that when his movies came out, he seemed like invincible. You know, every movie he made, just because he was so muscular and tough, you know, a manly man.
And he still is, huh?
Yeah. He is. He is. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know how
he looks, but we have to look to see the movie to see what he looks like.
That's
dedication. It's not the same. But
oh, well.
But, yeah. So, At any rate, we're going to have a phone guest calling us at
any minute?
10 o'clock. No, yeah. 10 o'clock.
Oh,
we still
okay.
have half an hour.
All right.
So let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to play a really interesting song for you.
Okay? Oh, another one?
Another one. I have a lot of those.
Is this from your son as well?
For my son? No.
No?
No, this one is for me. Okay. By Eiffel 65. Remember this song?
I do.
Yeah,
I
do. It's an awesome song. It doesn't get old.
And it was funny what you just told me when you were like, you knew a kid that thought, was it if I was green, if I was green, I would die?
Yeah, it's dubba-dee dubba-die, you know. But yeah, my son's friend thought it was if I was green, I would die, you know. Which I think sounds pretty good, actually.
You know what, Sam? I have a confession to make. I am the person that will change words in a song that have, you know, because I don't understand the words.
So
I'm
you make
the
up
one.
The songs.
No, I'm totally believing that it's something else,
really?
And I'll be like singing, and then William will turn around like, they don't sing that. It's this, and he'll rattle off. I was like, leave me alone. It's my song.
Yeah. I know some people actually make that mistake. With Van Halen's song Panama, people think it's Animal, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, Animal, you know. So. But, you know, talking about Van Halen, have you seen a picture of Eddie Van Halen lately? He looks a mess. He's about 51, okay? I mean, this guy used to look boyish, you know.
Right.
And very handsome.
Yes.
I used to know. This girl used to work with me, and she had such a crush on him that it was unbelievable. You know, she was attracted to old rockers, you know, and or older, let's say, like Def Leppard, and you know, and all this stuff.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and it was funny though to always pick on her, you know, with this Eddie Van Halen. But when you look at a picture of him now, he does not look very good. You know, and I think he's used drugs for many years and things like that. And and alcohol, I think I was reading. And his wife, Valerie Bertinelli, or his ex-wife.
Oh, yes.
Right?
I was trying to remember, like, I know that name. Yeah. I know there's some gossip going on there.
Yeah, so she left him.
Okay.
She left him. She was also pretty fat. She really gained a lot of weight.
Oh, she's
and she's doing Jenny Craig now.
Yeah.
So she looks pretty good. She's always been cute, you know. But I guess after 20 years, she said enough is enough, you know.
Yeah.
So, some people just have those demons they can never work out, you know.
And, what about the picture of the Rolling Stones we saw this morning?
Yeah.
Ew.
I know. They like
ugly.
I told you, they look like old ladies, you know. That's what they look like.
Not even the slight, not one of them.
Yeah.
Not one of them has retained an ounce of, you know, good looks at all.
Not that
any of them were good looking in
exactly.
the first place.
They were never attractive in the first place.
Yeah.
But it's amazing what fame will do for you. And
drugs,
I'm sure they've
alcohol,
had,
and sex.
They've had their,
sex, drugs,
their share
alcohol.
Of women, I'm sure. You know? I mean, these guys, like, you know, I mean, at the end of the concert, they, you know, they go backstage, they tell their aides or their security, whatever, to get this chick backstage and that chick backstage.
Oh,
I mean,
there's
I
a
saw
whole,
like.
Yeah, there's groupies. I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw on VH1 some time ago about a program on Def Leppard, and they were showing how they were fucking these girls under the stage, you know?
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah, you know, and so you can imagine. I mean, the life of a rocker is just like, you know, it's pussy land, you know. I mean, you're just like an unlimited supply of pussy, you
all
know.
Right, okay.
So it's worth it. I mean, I can see why
there's
a lot of people.
There's something I
do
know,
that.
You know, like speaking of groupies, you know, that kind of like for singers.
Right.
I went and saw a B.B. King concert.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, probably 9 years ago, 10 years ago, 9 or 10 years ago.
Right.
And sure enough, a man even his age, okay, had a whole bunch of groupies waiting for the show to end.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you. They all were backstage waiting to go into the room.
Yeah, everybody wants
and
to rub.
And this is B.B. King. I mean, the guy is how old? I mean, even back then, and he's not at all attractive.
Yeah, well, obviously, we already know that not all women go with men that are attractive. you had Anna Nicole Smith as a great example with that old fart. But yeah, she did, you know, and you see a lot of that stuff going on. And, you know, I mean, like, imagine, like, Jack Nicholson, for example. I mean, he's pretty old, but what, he had that young actress, what was her name from Twin Peaks? Lara Flynn.
Lara Flynn.
Right. Boy, she's skinny. I mean, she's anorexic, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not together anymore, right?
No, they've
broken up a long time ago.
No, they're broken up.
Yeah, but, I mean, so how can you imagine? I mean, he's like almost probably three times her age, not two times. And but it's Jack Nicholson, for crying out loud.
That's all it is. They're gold diggers.
If he wanted a fucking 14-year-old, he'd get it.
It's the gold diggers.
It's the fame. It's the fame. Everybody wants to rub elbows with fame.
My God, there's no way I could have Jack Nicholson over me.
No.
Yeah.
I bet you, you know what? If you ran into him, you would not let Jack Nicholson fuck you?
Hell no.
Oh, come on. You'd have the opportunity to write a fucking book about it, and he wouldn't do it?
No.
I don't believe it.
No. I have never, ever done anything of the sort. Never.
Yeah.
I have never gone down that road for anything to do with sex.
Yeah?
Yeah, never.
Really? Well, if you stood to gain something, maybe you would. You know?
Nope.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Jack Nicholson's girlfriend.
I had the producer who produced Find Me Guilty. okay.
What?
Anyway, the producer of Find Me Guilty
totally
propositioned me. Hey, you know, why don't you work with me? You know, be my assistant for a little bit. And, you know, and then the next film I produce, I'll definitely put you in, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so he just wanted to get into your
pants. But it was under that, you know, thing that, yes, I'm going to have, you have to have sex with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, I see.
And
but
so,
that's not Jack Nicholson, you know.
It's not.
Everybody has a price.
I know, but the thing is there are women out there that same guy.
Uh-huh.
If he had propositioned another girl, they would probably do it.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people would do it, and you know what? I think you would too for the right price.
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Would you fuck Jack Nicholson for $10,000?
Hell no.
Okay, but I mean, I don't believe you. I'll tell you why. Okay.
Why?
Because right now you're a struggling actress. Okay. If you were to not even to marry, but just to fuck Jack Nicholson, okay? That would open up so many doors for you, and nobody says it would be bad either. I'm sure he got a lot of experience over the years.
Yeah.
He's probably a good lover. You know, what have you got to lose?
I don't think any man like that is a good lover.
Okay. Well, I do. But yeah, you're right. He's probably very selfish, you know, and let you blow him and stuff. And
it's just not my thing.
I
am a struggling actress, blah blah blah, but I mean, seriously, if I was that desperate or something like that, I'd be trying to hoe myself out.
Yeah,
you know, for because there's always these ads for what do you call them? Escorts and things like that. And a lot of actresses, struggling actresses, of course, do that.
Yeah.
Because really they're looking for someone to take care of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not looking for someone to take care of me.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's been me since I was 15 years old. I've always taken care of my own ass.
Right.
And that's just the way it's been.
I guess so you've got your principles, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, probably. God damn it. Yeah. Sometimes I kick myself for it, you know.
Yeah.
But then, you know, my mind just is like, no. Yeah. You know, that's just, can you live with it? You know, okay. I do have a pretty strong conscience when it regards to that.
Yeah.
But do you want to hear some, do you want to talk about what's happening in Los Angeles, the gossip?
I do. But before we get into that, I want to play that song
for you.
Okay?
Okay.
And what do you know any French?
No.
You don't?
I don't.
Okay, well, I know a little bit, but let me tell you this. To enjoy this song, you don't need to understand the word. Okay?
Oh, I'm used to that.
And this is an old song that played when I was like a teenager. And we used to dance to this. You know?
Was that 50 years ago?
55, actually, to be exact. But I think I was like in sixth grade or something, and we would dance to this. And take a listen.
Okay.
Via, maintenant via, which means come now. Yeah. So that's my little French there. But don't you think it's like a sexy song?
It is, but yeah. You dance to this?
Yeah, we dance slow, you know, slow dancing with this song. Can you imagine? Like in sixth grade? But it's an awesome fucking song, you know? I mean, it's just...
Was this back in Israel or here?
Yes, yes.
Back in Israel.
Back there, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, actually, yeah, that's a very sexy song.
Yeah. And that's what I liked about living there is that we got a lot of flavor of European music.
Yes. Yeah. I remember you telling me that
now.
Yeah.
So it's you sort of get the best of both worlds. And I like Euro music, you know? I mean...
I do, too. Yeah. I do, too. I have a lot of, you know, different CDs with... French music, Spanish music, Iranian music. I mean, like, I don't understand the words.
Right.
But everything about it is, like, very moving. And
really?
And I just enjoy that kind of music.
Jeez.
Yeah, very different. Very
I know.
Different.
I don't know that I can enjoy any world music, you know. Like, if you give me some Indian music, it would not appeal to me.
And some of it do. Some, yeah. I mean,
don't know. I don't get into it. But no, I mean, I respect that you do. You know, it just gives you
more. I just listen to everything.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great thing, you know. So you have a lot to take care of. So, okay, why don't you get into some of the things you wanted to bring up as far as the news?
Speaking of European music.
Right.
I've been hearing this Amy Winehouse
name
running all over the place.
Yeah, and who the fuck is she?
Who the fuck is she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyways, it turns out I just found out that she is a like a blues soul singer from Britain.
Right.
And she was supposed to be flying over here for the awards this weekend.
Okay.
It's this weekend, right? I can't.
Oh, the Grammys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, but anyway, she was denied her visa simply because of all the. You know, all the bullshit that's running behind her right now. She's been
like
in
what?
Rehab. She got caught on tape smoking crack.
Really?
Yeah, she's...
Now, who is she again? She's like a star in Europe or something?
She's a star, like a soul music singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From where?
From Britain.
Oh, okay.
From a British, yeah. Anyways, and then also she went, you know, she got done for DUI and... She went into rehab. Anyways, turns out that she is still going to perform for the Grammys.
Really?
But not live. She's going to do it via
satellite. Really, by satellite.
But the U.S. denied her to come over and perform
That's
live.
That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Now, here's another little gossip, too. Apparently, I don't know how true this is, but apparently Michael Jackson is supposed to be making a show at the Grammys as well.
Really?
Yes.
Make a comeback?
I don't know. I don't know. Doesn't it sound really weird? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where has he been? Last time I heard that he was going to be setting off his own show in Las Vegas. Because he did move. He bought a house in Las Vegas.
He did.
And that's where he's been living.
Didn't he go to Australia for a while, too? I know
no.
he went somewhere out of the
No,
country.
Not Australia. I think it was somewhere... You know what? I think he went to Thailand or the Philippines.
Really?
And it's so ironic because this is why. It is very well known that the men who are pedophilias, not that I'm, you know, pointing fingers at, you know, Jacko there.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is because I've been to these countries, pedophilia, you know, like a child, what do you call it? Prostitution is avid over there.
Right, in Bangkok.
In Bangkok, Thailand and
have you been
in the Philippines. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's I mean, I remember some time ago I read that they actually have like organized tours, like trips to take you there and have sex with underage girls.
Mm-hmm.
And boys.
And in Thailand, in Bangkok. And this is really, really sad. The young girls are having sex by the time they're 8 years old.
Really?
And they, as soon as they, you know, and sometimes the families will sell off their children, their girls, and sometimes even boys for money.
That is fucking believable.
Now, if you're a little girl and you have had sex officially, now your cherry has been broken.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So they have the ability now back in Thailand. This is really horrible. like vaginal rejuvenation. So they sew them up and make their vagina small again, or if you know what I mean, like repair.
The little girls?
Yeah, they do some surgery to make it really tight so they can sell a little girl off as a cherry girl again for more money.
My God.
It's really,
aren't you
really
just happy
sad.
We live here?
Yeah, here and elsewhere, but there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just fucked up. You know, what the fuck is wrong with people? You know, seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. So.
Well, I want to take a break.
Oh.
We're going to have someone calling in at 10. And you were talking about Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Oh my, and supposedly, he's doing something from a Thriller.
Really?
On his Thriller album.
Yeah. I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs of his. So let's take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. We're going to take the phone calls. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Sam.
Yes.
This is Ken Sawyer.
Ken Sawyer. How you doing, Ken?
Hi, Ken.
Good. How you doing?
Good. Good. Say hi to Manu.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
No, hello to Manu.
I didn't quite hear what you said. Say hi to who?
Manu.
Manu. It's my co-host here.
Oh, hello, Manu.
Yeah, hi there.
She's on the website, and she makes it look a lot better. Yeah.
I don't know if that's what I would have said, but those are... So how are you guys doing out in L.A.?
We're doing fine. So you're an Angeleno, but you're out of town right now.
Yes, I'm in Nashville right now doing some recording.
Really? And have you seen anything with the tornadoes? Did you get affected by it?
Yeah, I ran a commentary on the internet about it. We were right in the right in the area.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
So I posted bulletins like every 10 minutes of what's going on and what the news was saying.
Really?
It was quite an experience.
And was it pretty scary?
Yeah, it was. A lot of people, you know, got hurt and died, which is very, very sad.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Amazing. So, anyway, Manu knows nothing about you.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, we wrote to each other a little bit. So, why don't you tell us briefly who you are and why you're calling?
All right. Hi, my name's Kenny Sawyer, and I'm from Vermont way, and... I started working with one of Howard Stern's characters, which is a very interesting thing, to say the least.
Right.
And I followed him around and took care of him and brought him to New York City for a year.
Hello?
Oh, did we lose you?
Hello?
And right now, I've got a book that I've written.
Hold on. Hold on, Kenny.
Experience with him.
Kenny?
And Kenny.
My band's starting to do well down here, and that's my space, Sawyer Davis Project. And we've got some really nice peace songs and some good things going on, and we're getting a lot of attention.
Right.
And I'm always, LA's, you know, one of the places to be when you're there.
Yeah. Now, what character from Howard Stern did you work with?
The new Bigfoot. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I listen to Howard all the time. Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, he's one of the reasons why I'm on talk radio now, because he made me want it so bad.
Yeah. You wouldn't even understand that, man. There's been some wild stories there, I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had some times that he's, he came down to New York City and we were going to go on the show, and he lasted about 3 days. He almost ran over 20 people.
Really?
Got your pulled on him.
Jeez.
He ended up in the worst parts of town. His Cadillac trunk wouldn't shut. His doors wouldn't lock. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so what were you doing with him? How did you get to meet him?
Well, a friend of mine, this girl, Melody, this kind of toothless hillbilly from up in the country, calls me up when I was in New York City with friends and said, "You'll never guess who I'm sleeping with." The newest Howard Stern character.
She's sleeping with him?
I've been playing him your songs, and he's starting to sing along to your songs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I said, "We've got to get you on the show."
And yeah.
Kind of evolve from there.
Uh-huh. So you got to know him before he actually got on the Howard Stern show?
I had met him a couple times before.
Right.
But didn't actually know him, but it was right after he won the contest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I brought him down to New York City.
Right.
And watch the shows, and really is quite hilarious. I don't think he knows how funny he is.
Yeah, he is very funny. I mean, I love to listen to him sing. You know, when he sings along with the music.
Yes.
You know, it's like Hotel California, right? And some of those songs, and it just sounds so funny. And they call him Bigfoot because he's huge, And he sounds like he's got a very deep voice, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, that's awesome. So, now you wrote to me something about a book.
Yeah, I did a book on my experiences. It's 35,000 words right now.
Wow.
And it just tells about the time I met him and, you know, a little bit about him and what we did and the songs we wrote and the escapades we went through trying to get the songs recorded, because I started writing songs as soon as I met him.
Yeah.
And he sat down in front of me in New York. Songs just started coming out.
I see. Okay.
And you know, it was really tough to write with him. So I thought, you know, this would be a good thing that people might want to read. You know, it's interesting and it's funny, and there's some really funny stories in there. Some of the things that happened with us.
I can imagine. Did you travel with him to the show sometimes, to Howard's show?
I did. I've been down there 3 or 4 times.
Really?
And we actually went on live and played our CD.
Oh yeah. So are you like his manager or something at this point?
No, I never wanted to be his manager. That'd be too much work. I was just you know, I was in the, I don't know if you call it the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the right time, but
yeah.
I wrote, you know, these songs and they just came out, and you know, Howard Stern's you know, as a songwriter for me, Howard Stern is a ticket.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think he's a ticket for just about anybody, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he got mad at us, you know. He goes, you guys didn't even rehearse because I couldn't get Bigfoot out of his house. He didn't have anything to smoke, and he was with this girl up there.
Yeah.
So we never even rehearsed. So we got there, we fell to pieces, and it was actually quite amusing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, anything that... So you were at the Sirius Studios?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And when was the last time?
The day we did the show, the owner was there, and they all liked us, and they were talking at one time of giving us an hour-long show once a week.
Wow.
Wow, really?
Nice, nice.
Yeah, everybody just, you know, I heard we sold a lot of CDs. As we got back to Vermont, and everything just fell apart. People started arguing over dumb stuff, you know, and who's the star, and who's this and that. And
yeah.
You know, it gets crazy. And Bigfoot's got a bit of an ego, believe it or not.
I believe it. I think it's been inflated ever since he's been on the Howard Stern show. That usually happens to people, too. You know, like Eric the Midget also calls in all the time.
I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, he calls in almost every day, and he feels like he's too good for the show, you know? I mean, he constantly curses them and puts them down. And
I remember listening to Howard Stern one night with regards to... Eric the Midget.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
it was so hilarious.
I think they get big egos, you know. Also, high pitch Eric, you know, he goes out and borrows money from people and shit just based on his relationship with the Howard Stern show.
Really?
Yeah. So, Ken, so you actually going to write a book about the experience? When is it self published or did you find
it? It is self published. I'm sitting on. I have 35,000 words right now.
Yeah, that's a lot, right? And how many pages is that?
That's like 240 pages.
Oh, that's not bad. You're almost there, you know. Plus,
yeah.
I mean, you could leave it at that, too.
And, you know, I still have this CD. You know, I wrote all the songs, well, all but two. I gave somebody a couple songs to help me record it.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I could be reached at Sawyer Songs at Yahoo if anybody wants to reach me for anything.
Okay.
And, you know, so we've had a lot of fun. And I hope, again, that we're going to go back and kick a little bit with Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have any of the songs with you you could play for us? You're probably not set up for it, huh? Like to play a song on the phone.
It would take me 5 minutes. I didn't think about that, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, sure.
Play it over my stereo through there?
Yeah, except that, you know, it probably won't sound very good, you know. So,
no.
I mean, you usually want to feed, you know, through a computer or something. But that's okay. I mean, if you want to send us like an MP3 or something, we'll play it on the show. You know?
Yeah, we'll send it over, you know. You know, we got. I wrote it is. You know, I sat down and I'm like, here's my story. It's true. I was once worse off than you. It is.
Yeah. That's the thing with the it is. You know, that's how Bigfoot talks.
Yeah.
You know. And
yeah,
I love him.
You know, the things that I wrote were tailored to him.
Yeah.
and you know, Howard. One thing about Howard is, he gives all these guys an opportunity to promote themselves and get out there and make a good living.
He really does. He really does.
And,
you know,
that's what happened with Bigfoot. So let's take this on the road. We'll play some acoustic shows, and we'll get up and laugh. We can tell some jokes, take some pictures, sell some shirts and CDs. We moved to the next city.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just kind of fell apart, which is kind of sad, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Because Howard was calling him a rock star, and I'm like, oh,
really?
My God, this is good.
You know what? Everybody that's around
to,
Howard is a star.
Yeah,
you know?
I would love to meet Howard.
Yeah,
I've been a fan of his for years.
He's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And when Ken just All Ken had to do was mention Howard's name, and I'm like, yeah, you know, let's have you on the show, because I just love talking about Howard, you know, and I listen to him continuously. You know, I capture the stream from the internet with my Sirius subscription, and then I burn it to CDs and listen to it in the car.
Yeah.
And there's not a day that goes by that I don't listen to Howard, you know, when I'm in the car, of course.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been very busy, but yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's a legend, and if I could have one hair off his ass as far as listeners go, I would be very happy.
Yeah, it's amazing the following he's got.
Yeah, I know. So, did you meet any of the bunch there, like Gary or Artie or any of those people?
Yeah, Artie was there, and actually, when I was walking out, I said, "Artie, you hear that noise?" And he said, "What's that?" And I said, "That's my career going down the toilet." And he stopped me. He goes, "Listen, man." He goes, "The songs are good. We're just having fun with Bigfoot, you know. It's no big deal." And I'm like, "Yeah, thank you, man. That was cool."
Yeah.
Yeah, we met Artie and Howard. Of course, you know, we didn't get pictures with Artie and Howard, but they're kind of private, and Robin was there too.
Yeah, I'm a fan of
actually,
Robin.
He kind of rushed off Jamie Foxx.
Oh, okay. And so then, that was then. That was what,
it was
a month or two
year,
ago?
And then we went on, and the model lady there, Jan Dickinson, was supposed to follow us, and we ran over because he was having so much fun with us.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But apparently Janice Dickinson was stamping her feet in the green room because he was being bumped by us.
Wow.
So we
that
made a little bit of
crazy.
Hollywood wait for us while we got up there and picked and grinned.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So so you actually met Howard?
Yes, yes.
Did he say two words to you? Or
Yes, he actually did. You know, he asked me about the songs, and he asked me about, you know, why we weren't rehearsed. Of course, Bigfoot blamed everything on me and this drunken chick we know in Vermont.
Right.
And so I said, Howard, the truth was, you know, he was holed up in this room and he wouldn't leave the house, and we were snowed in up there. And
yeah.
He was, you know, he couldn't get him out. So, yeah, actually, you know, we were on there like 12 minutes. It was quite a long time. We did 4, 5, 6 songs.
Wow.
It's January 24th last year.
January 24th. January 24th.
And I also, we did the weekend with Bigfoot. I don't know if you caught that on Howard TV.
No, I didn't. I didn't. But, yeah, I remember they did a show on that, right? Like following him around and stuff?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can't watch that while you're driving. I can understand listening to the CD. But.
Yeah, there you go. No, I do have Howard TV, actually, and every once in a while I sort of catch up.
Oh,
on
you
everything.
Do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have to. I'm telling you, I'm like a diehard fan.
I used to like watch him on television all the time.
I mean, he's a
that
friggin'
was my favorite.
Genius.
I just,
you know,
love the antics and everything. Like
Yeah. And I mean, and they've had over 20 years to polish up and perfect this.
Yes.
To a well-oiled machine, you know.
Well, what do you think? You think the show's better since he went to Sirius and got, you know, no ratings or the old days?
Obviously, now I think, you know, being able to be open and say anything that you want. I think that's what he needed. He was stifled, you know, back at K-Rock. So, I mean, this guy needs to have a forum where he can say whatever he wants.
You know, CBS Radio is suing Howard Stern, claiming that its former, you know, like the... what do you call it? He shocked, jocked, and breached, you know, the contract when he was with CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
so
but I thought that was settled. Remember, Ken, you probably remember when
I read this just 2 days ago.
Yeah,
just 2 days.
So
ago.
Maybe they.
I know he was in litigation, and he. I think he did. He did sign off with one of the people involved.
Oh. Yeah.
But I don't think it was everybody. You know, those things carry on for years.
Yeah, I think that was for the fact that he was promoting Sirius when he was still there in CBS.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
But I remember that he brought this up a long time ago. Yeah. I thought it was settled already. I guess not.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, they're suing him because, you know, they're claiming that he improperly used CBS radio airtime
right.
to promote the
Sirius. Exactly.
I remember him doing that.
Yeah.
But Yeah. So like, how many years ago was that?
I mean, wouldn't you? You know what I'm saying?
What are you
going to say
if you're moving to somewhere else?
You can't just ignore it. I mean, he talks about his life.
Like, oh, by the way, I'm not with CBS Radio anymore, but I'm not allowed to tell you what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Know. So, yeah, so you see that with all that, that's why I think the show is a lot better now, you know? And he's actually more the boss now than he ever was over at CBS.
He is the boss, isn't he?
Yeah, he is the boss, but yeah, well,
$70 million bonus last year.
Well, he's the boss in his show, but I mean, now he's the boss of the whole station. You know, I mean, he wasn't the boss of CBS, obviously, but he was big, but he wasn't the, he wasn't the boss really. And now it's like, it seems like I think he even helps him run the actual company. You know, in many ways. So,
yeah, I think his fingers are in all the pies like that. Yeah. That's the way to go when you get to his position, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a smart businessman. He's very smart. You know, I mean, he portrays himself as not very smart on the air, but that's the character. You know, he's obviously very sharp. And, and what he's doing is, it's like a bunch of friends of yours sitting there in the studio and you listen to them all day, you know? And, and I've always loved radio, but Howard just made me forget about anything else that's out there except for his show.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like you get all your daily nutrition through that show. You know?
And laughter.
Yeah. So, Ken,
I've been waiting out in the parking lot at work and not want to go in because he's right in the middle of something or he's coming back to something. It's like, oh, my God, I can't run in.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been there. I know exactly how you feel. I've been late for work listening to his show in the car. And it's like, I know, I've got to find out what's going to happen, you know. And then I'll just stick around.
And he becomes such part of your life. I mean, I sometimes dream that I meet him, you know, because, you know, I mean, you listen to him every day. You think about it and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, God, it'd be great to meet him, you know, and that's what happens.
It seems like friends when you hear him so much. It's like almost like a neighbor.
Exactly. You know, it's like eavesdropping on your friends or on somebody at the bar talking and all that, you know, and he knows how to do it. He knows how to do it, you know, I'm loving talking about Howard. I mean, I can talk about this all day and night, but Ken, tell us a little bit about yourself. So you live in LA, right? You live in LA.
No, right now I am staying in Nashville. I'm kind of I move around.
Oh, I see.
You know, with the band.
So you don't necessarily
live
here.
We're recording, and I wish I could get some people to go on to MySpace Sawyer Davis project because we got some good things going on, and kind of springboarded from the Howard thing, and my dream is to play and sing music anyway. So
yeah,
right. Nashville is the place.
Yeah. So are you doing anything?
If I could, I'd like to shout out to Ron Sutton, Keith Davis, Hope Bent. Uh-huh. And Kevin Lumbert, these are the guys that are surrounding the band that are beautiful.
Okay.
People.
I see.
Great. And so are you actually recording there in Memphis?
Yes, we are. We're in two different studios. We're in one studio where we're getting kind of an older sound that actually comes from Detroit, the equipment. A lot of Motown stuff was recorded on this equipment, so it's got some history.
Oh, really?
Black, I guess, had done some work on it.
Yeah.
And from the White Stripes, and we're cutting some songs there. We've posted some on our site to give people an idea. And there's like two piece songs that seem to be really doing well. People are picking up on it. We're getting a lot of hits on the internet. A lot of people are downloading the songs. It's a good message, and maybe it's time for some good old fashioned songs again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I'd love to hear them. What? Give the MySpace address again.
MySpace Sawyer, SAWYER, Davis, DAVIS, Project, PROJECK. And I think you guys really like it. Give us a listen.
Yeah, well,
okay.
We appreciate the support. And maybe, you know, if enough people holler and scream, we'll get on and play Howard with a band.
Yeah, yeah. great.
And who knows, Bigfoot might make a surprise appearance and bubble a song.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if we had Bigfoot in here? I mean, we could be big, you know? Hey, we're associated with Howard.
Well, if we would have done what we wanted to do last year, Bigfoot would have been in L.A. today because I wanted to take us on the road.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, it's not over yet. It's only been a year, and, you know, fences are mending, and we need to get Bigfoot out there and working because it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun with the reaction of the people, you know?
Yeah. I know, Bigfoot is such a funny name. I mean, they give people the funniest names, you know?
I'm really trying to visualize what this guy looks like.
Yeah, well, I'll show you. I'm sure if we Google him, we're going to find a picture or two, yeah.
Oh, not the big hairy monster?
No, but
he's a scary guy.
Yeah, he's a scary guy.
Oh, really?
Up there in Vermont, he scares all the women and children. I mean, even before he was on Stern, he was a scary guy.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, and that's why they picked him, because they like all those eccentrics, you know.
Eccentric.
Those unusual characters.
Yeah, people in Vermont don't know what to think, you know, because, you know, he got his name because he robbed a house when it was snowing. And they followed his big footprints right over to a shed where he was going through the loot.
That's good.
So the paper called him Bigfoot, because that's how they tracked him.
So it wasn't Howard that gave him the name then?
No.
Oh, I see.
He's got it tattooed on his arm. And what happened? There used to be an old Bigfoot.
Yes.
And they had talked about changing his name, but he's got it tattooed on his arm, and he's been Bigfoot since he robbed that house in Vermont.
Robbed the house. Come on.
In the snow. Like, there's the criminal.
Yeah, they're probably thinking, yeah, it is the actual Bigfoot. He exists. You
so
know?
Is this something that you talk about in your book?
Yes, it is.
It is? So when do you predict that your book is going to come out?
Well, I'm shopping it around, and but right now, if anybody wanted a copy, they just went to SawyerSongs.com. You know, work out a price with them and send them over a copy of it.
Right. What's that? What's that email? The code again?
The website?
Sawyer SAWSongs SONGS @yahoo.com.
Okay.
Right. SawyerSongs.com. Okay.
And it's funny. And one quick story: he was in a bar up in Vermont, a small place that I play and stuff. And they'll know us. And he was with a woman, and he wanted to have sex with her. Could I say this?
Yes. Of course, you can say anything you want.
So he was buying her drinks for sex. So after half the night went through and she was getting drunk and spending all his money, he said, hey, no more drinks unless you give me sex. So she said, okay. She went out in the parking lot and they started having sex. She stopped. And she said, no more sex till you buy me drinks. and she went back in the bar. So he followed her in the bar with his thing right out of his pants. And I was there, and the bartender, there was a lot of people there, and they actually had to tell him to put his thing away.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, the girl took off with another guy.
Yeah, well, why am I not surprised, you know? So, did she blow him?
Nothing. She rode him for a minute.
Oh.
She rode him.
She rode him, because I guess he likes that.
She
and
had
she got right up and
him.
Said, that's it.
That's now it. Another drink.
She's a smart girl. She's a hustler.
Yeah, she just paid for a drink, and she wanted to get off.
Oh, a lot of drinks. Yeah. She was buying her drinks all night. Yeah. And then at the end of the night, she leaves with somebody else.
poor Bigfoot.
Yeah, he's in the parking lot doing it by himself, apparently.
Yeah, so are you in touch with him? I mean, do you talk to him?
I haven't talked to him for maybe since I was in Vermont, 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
I see.
But all the people we know are in daily contact with him, and I got his cell number if I have to call him.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, on Howard, they mentioned that he sort of disappeared, right? Is that correct? Like, at least from
he ate some pills one day. I don't know. He's a lot of it, I think, is for attention.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he disappears. You know, he lives here to there.
Yeah.
And he likes it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. I would imagine. I mean, he's obviously not very sophisticated, you know, so sort of like fly by the seat of the pants, making the best of what he can. And I don't blame him, you know. I mean, if I could capitalize on something like that, I would, you know.
Yeah.
Make appearances.
Yeah, he needs to a little more, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this guy got him assigned as a manager up there, and he's really not a manager, so he's not, his career isn't progressive as it should. He should have a, you know, a New York and L.A. kind of management team.
Yeah.
To get him working around the country.
You're not some Joe Blow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because what he's doing now is he just goes down to Howard, he does some things and calls in the show, and that's it. And then he goes back to Vermont and he lives off his government check.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And, you know, he really could be out there making money. And that's one of the classes we had.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, you know, it's like you drop his name. I'm sure millions of people are going to know about it. So he's not going to make a lot of money. He's not a big star. But, yeah, he could do something, you know. And
Well, they say those guys can make, you know, like $1 million a year off of products and appearances.
Really?
Smart.
Even Bigfoot could?
Well,
Well, because, you know, he can get $1,500 for a show. If you do 4 shows a week, you sell T-shirts for $30, CDs for $20.
Right. Yeah,
that's one of the problems when we had the CD that, you know, when I got on the show, the guy switched numbers on me, and none of the, so I didn't catch any of the sales, so I'm kind of you know, we're kind of got at inroads on the CD sales, but I heard about 30,000 CDs were sold.
Yeah. Wow, really?
That's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot, you know, times by 20.
Yeah, and $20 a piece, which I thought was stiff. I was going to sell them for, you know, 10 or 15.
Yeah. Wow.
But they're fun things. You guys got to seek them out. You could probably find the songs on there. I'll email over a couple of songs. All
yeah,
right?
Do that. And, you know, we'll put a link on them. You know, if you have them on the website, just send me the link by email, and we'll link to your songs.
Well, you know, yeah. I don't have them on my site because I'm promoting my band right now. So, but I'll send them over to you.
Yeah, just send them over. That'll be fine.
And there's a couple pictures of us on there on my site there when we were down in the studio.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, so just send me links to everything because I don't remember all the links you gave me. But and we'll put a couple of them on the website as well, so when people listen to the archives, they can go and check it out.
And go to the links.
All
yeah.
Right. Great. So, Ken, I'm really glad you called. I mean, this has been fun, you know. Like I said, anything that you can be associated with Howard Stern and talk about it is great, especially when we know Bigfoot. And, you know, I mean, yeah, so we all end up with celebrities to one extent or another, you know. But it's cool. So you travel all over the country. Are you going to be in New York again anytime soon?
We're trying right now. We're talking with some labels about launching us, you know, on the road.
Right.
This is your own band, right?
Huh?
This is your own band.
Yeah. This is okay. my vision.
Right.
And one more time, because I know I've been on a while. One more time is MySpace Sawyer Davis Band, and I think you guys will enjoy us. And you can get the book at Sawyer Songs, or you can get the Bigfoot CD or whatever. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions or anything anybody wants to, you know, comments or anything.
Sounds good, Ken. Well, thanks so much for calling. You know,
Thank you, guys.
It's been a pleasure. And keep in touch. Let us know what's going on, you know.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Pleasure,
nice,
Ken.
Nice talking to you.
Take care.
Nice talking to you. Have a great LA day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Anyway, that was Ken Sawyer. It's a pretty cool name, huh?
Ken Sawyer,
Ken
yeah.
Sawyer, like a Tom
so
Sawyer.
So it's like MySpace Ken Sawyer Band .com.
Yeah. Although I don't understand because MySpace.com, and he didn't say that.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's just saying MySpace, and then you do the MySpace.com.
Right.
Then you do the /.
Yeah, whatever, whatever. Anyway, he's going to email it to me, and then we'll get it online. But so
he
just
sounds like a character himself,
yeah,
actually,
he does. And as I said, I mean, you know, most people, I'm sure, do not know Ken Sawyer, and we didn't know it until he emailed to us. But he is associated with Bigfoot, who is a character on Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And, any opportunity to discuss my idol or...
To have those links.
Yes, you know. Yeah, I'm linked to Howard Stern through this and this and this, you know, 6 degrees
yeah,
of separation,
exactly.
You know. So maybe I cut it down to three degrees.
Three degrees.
Yeah, but... I mean, if I could have one wish is to make it as big as he has.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to meet. I would just love to meet Howard Stern.
Yeah. I mean, he's huge.
Yeah.
He's huge, you know.
But you're right about him being able to have the freedom to talk. Speaking of that, I mean, it's kind of unusual how America has so much census, you know, on their programs, on television and on radio. And if you go to countries, you know, like France or in particular Australia, we don't have those restrictions on us. You can swear, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, and terrestrial radio, right on the air, on
regular
public airwaves.
And on regular television.
Yeah.
You know, there's how can you say that?
I know, and
we were
talking about that,
that people
you see topless... topless anything on TV in Europe or I don't know if in Japan, but I'm sure some other countries where they have that, you know, and on radio as well, you know, I mean, they can curse, they can say whatever they want. And, but here, I mean, look, you know what? It kind of makes sense because I don't know that I'd want my kids listening to something, inappropriate when they're young, you know, but at the same time, you're in control of the radio.
Yes,
you
that's
know?
Right.
So, but the point is that they're concerned about kids that are just going to go and listen to the radio without asking the parents. You know, I mean, listening to the radio is very natural. You don't have to ask for permission.
No.
So
and it's the same thing with television back home, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can,
Yeah, we've become so conservative here. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is where the sexual revolution started, and we're here, you know, trying to hide our nudity in every possible way.
Yeah, stepping backwards.
Yeah, and because you know what, one thing that a problem that we have in this country is that we mix nudity with sex. You know, these are two separate things.
Very separate.
You know, and so for example, when you know, at least in my opinion, when you're looking at a Playboy, that's not sex. That's not porn. I mean, you see nudity. You know? And but you know, even let's not take it that far, okay?
Unless you take it to the bathroom. Sam, have you done that?
What's that?
You know, take the magazine to the toilet.
Oh no, no, I have not done that. I've done it in other places, but not in the toilet. No. Yeah,
sorry.
No. I mean, before the internet, all you had is magazines and then video, and now you have the internet. Yeah. So there's always something to masturbate to. I mean, it's not a problem. You know?
Computer sex.
Yeah. but going back to this, I mean, you know, if we could just acknowledge nudity as something that's natural and beautiful, we wouldn't have so many problems. You know,
or
I mean, people are so oppressed.
Or hang-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nudity is not sex. You know, I can be naked and doing the laundry. You know, there's no sex in there.
No, not
you
at
know?
All.
So I mean, yeah, I'd love to see tits on TV. You know, I'd love to see bare ass on TV. And we do get to see it on the cable.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, we're pretty prude here.
Did you know? Some time ago. In Sydney, because our beaches, you know, a lot of women just wear G-string on the beaches. And there was an American guy from Mid-America. I remember this going through all the news. He was going to, he was visiting Sydney, Bondi Beach in Sydney, and he was taking cameras of all the women, all the nude women, you know, in the G-strings.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Did they beat him up?
No, they didn't beat him up. But obviously this guy was like, oh my God, tits,
at all that nudity here. Yeah.
So he started taking pictures. Yeah. Anyway, they banned him from coming back to the beach because he was getting loony over it.
Really?
Yeah, he was just like totally like...
Well, you know what? Tits will do that to a man. I'm telling you.
But it doesn't do it to a man like an Australian man.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
because it's normal over there.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's still a turn on.
But this guy got a little.
It's
over.
Not like women walk around bare chested in the mall. You know, so it's not
up
like
along the sidewalks we do. You
come
know,
on.
Like along the top of the beach.
Oh, the beach. Okay.
Yeah, the beach. Well, yeah, but we have the, you know, the walks. You know, like Santa Monica Boulevard.
Right.
You have that strip above between the road and the beach.
Right, right.
Yeah, we still walk. Yeah.
Not
you
Santa
know,
Monica Boulevard,
there.
Santa Monica. You mean on the Pacific?
Oh, yes.
An ocean. And, yeah, I mean, I can, you know.
The boulevard.
Yeah, so it's like a park, yeah, so I can see where people would take off their clothes.
It's free. It's, you know, we feel good about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's but you know, I wanted to tell you that tits will do that to a man, you know. And I gotta tell you, you know, yesterday I'm walking to my car, okay? Now this this really fat woman's walking, and she's probably like semi homeless, right? And she's got no shirt on, okay, and huge tits, and you can see the nipples through the shirt. And I can't help but look. I mean, I would never fuck her. You know, I wouldn't even give her a second glance. But those tits are just dancing there, and you can't ignore it. You know?
No, I don't
think. They're big.
I don't think I could ignore that either.
So I'm telling you, I mean, you know, tits can make a man crazy, so I can understand him going loony.
Loony.
And stuff, you know. So, but let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
See you soon. It's the first
like
I haven't
you.
Heard of them. Like I haven't heard of them yet.
Really?
Yeah, that was
really
cool.
That's an older song too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I told you I get a lot of great songs.
I know, Sam.
Yeah.
You're
so
surprising me.
Why?
Well, you know,
well, you
hey.
Know me by now.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. You
yeah,
know,
I think
a
so.
Multifaceted, multi-talented.
Just like me.
There you go.
Anyway.
That's why we're here together, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Hey, Sam,
yeah.
I want to share something with you because we were talking about radio, you know, like air sensors and stuff like that. So I've got something here that's quite appropriate to that, to understand you know, the things that can come across the radio, the airwaves in Australia.
Uh-huh.
So they have this show every day in the from Fox FM.
Okay.
And it's a Fox FM thing, and it's through Sydney. And it's kind of like a game show. And they call up people who are seriously involved or are married, and it's a competition kind of thing. And if you basically, it's based on three simple questions randomly, and if you answer, so they call up someone, they ask you these three random questions, and then they call up the partner. Now, if the partner, they ask the same three questions, and if the partner answers correctly, then they go off for a holiday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a weekend trip.
You know what it's called? The newlywed game.
It's
nothing new. Okay.
No, okay, nothing
we
new.
Had it here in the 70s.
Okay. So, yeah. But that was a game show on television. This is on the airwaves.
I see.
This is on the airwaves,
okay.
So everyone can watch it.
Yeah.
So anyways, so this is how it went down. Mm-hmm. This is in Sydney. And this is the DJ. Hey, this is Ed on Fox FM. Have you heard of Mate Match? And the contestant is laughing, and he says, yes, I have. DJ, great. Then you know we're giving away a trip to the Gold Coast if you win. What is your name? First only, please. Contestant, Brian. Brian, are you married or what? Yes, I am married. Well, thank you. Now, what is your wife's name? Remember, first name only. Her name is Sarah. Is Sarah at work? She is gonna kill me, he replies. And then, stay with me, Brian. So the DJ says, he asks his first question, and the question was, when was the last time you had sex? Brian says, about 8 o'clock this morning. And the DJ, attaboy. So he's laughing sheepishly. And the question two was, how long did it last? And Brian replies, about 10 minutes. Wow, you really, you know, want that trip, huh? So one would ever have said that if a trip wasn't at stake. And Brian goes, yeah, the trip sure would be nice. So the DJ says, okay, final question. Where did you have sex at 8 o'clock this morning? Brian laughs and goes, well, not that it was all that great, but her mum was staying for us for a couple of weeks. The DJ, okay, uh-huh, and the mother-in-law was in the shower at the time. So the DJ's like saying, attaboy, Brian, you know, you're doing it at home while the mother-in-law's in the shower. And so Brian actually finally replies, on the kitchen table while the mother-in-law is in the shower. So a few minutes go by, the DJ then calls Sarah at her job place and gets her on the phone and says, hey, Sarah, this is such and such from Fox FM. Have you heard of Mate Match? Yes, yes. And she's laughing. And so he then asks Sarah the exact same questions,
And
okay, so,
yes.
You know, when was the last time you had sex? Sarah replies, 8 o'clock this morning, bingo, first answers. And then the other question, okay, so, how long did it last? She answers, probably about 12, 15 minutes. And then Sarah goes like, well, you know, of course, she's like, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into here?
Uh-huh,
exposing everything, you know, because you have to answer the questions honestly in order to win the trip.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Brian says, you know, like just this last question, of course, the DJ says, so where did you have sex? And Sarah's like, oh, no, Brian, you just did not tell the whole world this, you know. And so they start laughing. And Brian says, go ahead, honey, just tell him. And the DJ's like, what's bothering you so much, Sarah? And he goes, well, come on, Sarah, where did you have sex?
Right.
And then she says, I had it up the ass.
Well,
so it wasn't on the kitchen table.
Right.
She went way out there and exposed that she had anal sex.
Well, that was this story was a bit too fucking long for that punchline. Okay,
oh, I'm sorry.
No, I mean the thing is, you started describing a whole fucking show here. You know, it's sort of like you had to be there. You know, but hey, I'm gonna give you a hard time sometime, and you better take it. Okay. Excuse me. You can beat me up at the end of the show. Okay? But no more long stories like this unless the punchline is really worth it. I mean, it was good. It was good. But I could have made the story a lot shorter.
You could have. Well, yeah. I tried to make the story a lot shorter, actually.
No, you're not. You actually quoted every fucking thing they said. The DJ, this.
I just threw the papers at him.
Yeah, okay. You could beat me up. But that's what it's about, you know? What? Right? We're supposed to say what we feel.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you can criticize me, too, you know?
No.
That's just fine.
But, I mean, just talk about got caught on the act.
Yeah.
It's like she just revealed to the whole of Sydney that she takes it up the ass.
Yeah, or up the arse, like the British would say, right?
No, we do say arse in Australia. I just
arse?
Got in the habit of saying ass.
Yeah. Arse.
I don't know. Yeah.
Where
arse.
Would they get arse?
Oh, you asshole! That's what we would say.
No, but A R S E.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Arse.
Yeah. Except ass when you see arse. When you say R, it's. With your accent, it's silent often, you know. So like, hey, right?
Hey.
My hair.
My hair?
Yeah. You saying hair?
Hair.
No,
hair.
I think
I don't
you
know.
Say hair.
Hair. I don't know. I know. I get caught up for, herbs. We say herbs.
Yeah, and we say herb.
Herbs.
Herbs. Yeah. But it doesn't make sense because it does have an H.
I know.
So that's the idiosyncrasies of language. I wanted to remind everyone that right after our show at 11, we're going to have the premiere of the Dr. Michelle show. And she's a psychologist. And she actually does shows on local radio. You know,
does
sometimes
TJ,
she fills in.
Is TJ not coming in after us today?
He is at 12.
Oh,
she's
okay,
coming
so
in
this
at 11.
Is 11.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so she's
and,
right after us.
Yeah, and she's probably here. And so she's going to talk, I think, about relationships and stuff. And she might want to interview me, which is fine. You know, I'm going to tell her one of my problems and let her solve it for me. You know, maybe she can do it in half an hour. I don't know. But
what kind of therapist is she?
Like a family therapist, I think. You know, relationship, family.
Relationships.
You know? Yeah.
Did I see something about sex as well?
Sex?
Does,
I don't know.
Does she do sex therapy as well?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm sure she's not like a sex surrogate, but, you know, I mean, if you come to her with sexual problems, I'm sure she could help you, you know.
No, I don't know.
So that's what psychologists do, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, have you ever heard of sex surrogates?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I remember at one time they were talking about this, and this is like you're a therapist, and you teach your patient how to actually have sex and enjoy it. So they actually
really?
Have sex with the patients. Yeah.
You're kidding.
No. I mean, this is, that's what a sex surrogate is.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah. They fucking like, okay, so, you know, you need to know how to fuck, how to insert your dick, you know, what positions to do, and they actually do this with them. I mean, are these like whores by another name or what? Sex surrogate. Give me a break, you know?
I've never heard of that. So
no?
When you said it, it didn't click. It didn't, obviously, it didn't click in my mind what that was.
No, there are people like that, you know?
Wow.
Any excuse to have sex for free, you know?
It's like prostitution, goddammit. You know what I mean?
But isn't it amazing, though? I mean, have you ever thought that the best thing in the world in life is free? You know? It doesn't cost anything, folks. You know, and
no, not at all.
Yeah, unless you're extremely ugly and unattractive, you know, then you have to pay for it.
Isn't it weird how a lot of men will pay for sex?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, why not?
Wow.
Yeah. I never have personally, you know, I never had the need, but I can see how somebody would.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. And I mean, you know, you go to Amsterdam and you see all these men walking by in the red district, the red light district in Amsterdam.
Oh, because they stand in the window,
they're
don't
in
they?
They're in the windows, yeah, and you get to shop around for a hooker, you know.
Yeah,
so
like, I'll pick
they've got
that
every,
one.
Yeah, and I mean,
one.
They got like old, new, old, young, black, white, Asian, you know, tall, short, anything that you might want, you know, thin,
really?
Fat, yeah, everything. And it's funny because you get like, you see like tourists in groups walking by and checking out the merchandise, you know, I mean, just for the novelty part of it.
Could you imagine being one of the tourists like, I just might disappear right now. Give me a 5-minute blowjob.
Yeah.
While they're gawking about everything else.
Yeah, but it's totally like surreal because you walk in very, very narrow alleys. I mean, you can touch both walls if you stretch out your hands, you can touch both sides of the alley.
I'll have to ask William about this. He's been there.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. You need to go there. You need to go there.
I want to. I do.
Yeah. I think we have a call. Hold on a second.
Hey, we do.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Sam. It's Greg in Cleveland.
It's Greg in Cleveland, Mr. Barbecue. How are you, Greg?
Greg,
good.
What
I was just listening, and I wanted to tell Manu, because you seemed shocked, you know, about the guys paying for sex thing.
Uh-huh. the sex surrogates?
Surrogates. Like the hooker stuff.
Oh, the hookers, okay.
She didn't know what a sex surrogate was.
No,
maybe that's just more like U.S. stuff, but at least for the hooker aspect.
Yeah.
You're paying to have sex, but you're really just paying her so you can leave immediately.
Exactly. Or pay for her to leave, right?
Yeah, it's like the old joke, why do you pay a hooker to leave?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that's why guys don't have any problem paying for sex, is because you can have the sex, and then you can just leave, and then you don't get yelled at like you would.
No strings, attached.
You know, and then you don't get this, please call me. You know what I mean? That kind of bullshit that I'm sure goes on.
No, she could care less. She's made her bones, and you've given your bone, I guess.
Yeah.
No pun intended, right?
No, not at all.
But
I just wanted to you know, clear that up for you guys.
Yeah, no, because it's a complete detachment there, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just the act.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose.
Yeah. Thanks for the input, Greg.
Hey, I liked your show last night, by the way.
Yeah, everybody loved your show. And,
thank you very much.
Yeah, and keep it up, man. And you had a lot of listeners and a lot of people calling in. You know, Manu, he had like a lot of phone calls coming in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's popular, and he was doing this from, was it a bar or a restaurant?
It's a Irish pub.
Oh, Irish pub. Okay, cool.
So
that's where he did the show from.
You know, there's a bar, and then there's also area proceedings. So.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Which bar?
It's a nice little comfy place.
What bar are you talking about?
He's in Cleveland.
Oh, in Cleveland.
He's in Cleveland.
Okay.
You
Irish
would know.
Bar
yeah.
in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we would know it, I'm sure. What's the what's the weather like? Do you guys have snow there today?
Yeah, it snowed overnight. We got about maybe 2 inches.
Wow.
So, but there is kind of a warming trend. I think it's supposed to be about 36, 37 degrees here today.
Yeah. It's like so different.
But Saturday, what was it, Monday or Tuesday, it's supposed to be 9.
9 degrees.
Nine. And that's just the ambient temperature. If the wind blows off the lake, it could get into, you know, minus degrees.
Jeez, man, that's cold. I don't know how you guys do it, you know, living there. And with all the snow and the ice, it's a whole different way of life. You know, you have to shovel your driveway. You know, you've got to do this. You get sometimes, because I was in Minnesota once in the winter. And I know we took a car and we drove just outside the parking lot, and there was so much ice that the wheels started spinning in place, and we weren't going anywhere, and I didn't know what the hell to do, you know? So you guys have that, huh, Greg?
Well, you know, people tell you that you put up with this because then you get to see all four seasons transpire versus, you know, one.
Yeah,
like
we have,
have kind of like one continuous thing
happening. We have pretty much
like people do in Florida.
Every day is the same, pretty much.
It's winter and cold and dreary for 6 months out of the year, and the other six, you know, there's a little bit of spring, a lot of summer, a little bit of fall, and then right back to the crap.
Yeah.
Right back to the crap.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind being in the snow right now, eating a good steak with Greg. That'd be awesome. And every time I talk to you, I think of a steak, man. What am I going to do? Greg Redpe, synonymous with sex. I was gonna say with meat. You can tell where my mind is today, Greg.
Yeah, no doubt. You better clean it up, pal.
Yeah,
we are talking about too much.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, guys. I just wanted to have a great rest of the show.
Okay,
thanks,
Greg, and thanks for listening, man. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
I wasn't aware that you could actually do that, Sam.
Do what?
You know, like do the show from...
Oh, from somewhere else, remotely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We can do anything here.
Wow, that's...
We've got the technology. Sam does not play around.
See? That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, and he's got a nice setup because he's like an audio pro.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, and he's done some promos, and I'm probably going to have him do a lot of promos for our radio if he agrees to do that, because he's very good, I think.
Yeah.
And he's just got the knack for it, you know. So he's already got his computer set up and everything, and we just had him connect through Skype, and bam. And it sounded great, right?
Yeah, I actually thought that he was here.
You thought he was here?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? I was like, God, where is he? You know?
Yeah.
And I envisioned him that there was something. I don't know what it was, but
I know.
Way over in Cleveland. That's amazing.
Yeah. When he first got a hold of me, I remember... Greg, you know, we started talking about the radio station and all that stuff. And I told him, well, why don't you come meet us downtown? And he's like, well, I'm in Cleveland. It's going to be a little bit of a drive, you know. So I didn't realize he was not from L.A., you know, because I was expecting people to respond from Craigslist from L.A.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, you know, he really got me interested, and we have him on, and I think he's awesome. You know, and I wish he'll do more shows. Maybe he'll do more than once a week. Who knows?
Well, I tuned in for probably about 15, 20 minutes last night while I was on the computer and everything.
He's got a great voice, huh? He's got a very deep voice.
It's a great voice.
It is. It is. He should be in radio.
And it did come across really, really clear.
Yeah.
That was really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Really did.
But yeah, so. He got me thinking about steak.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I was like,
and I'm
oh,
so freaking
God,
hungry
I want
right
some
now.
So steak. Well, actually, that's why Tiger and I got home so late.
Yes.
Because after our little fiasco at the bowling lanes, the nightclub bowling lanes, we went to Cafe 101. Have you heard of that?
No.
Well, it's kind of, you know, a hip place to go, I suppose.
And you don't consider yourself a party girl? I mean, look at you.
No,
you're going from one place to the other.
But you have to remember, William is over in Ireland.
Yes.
And I have Tiger as my roommate.
Right. So, you don't go out that much when he's here?
No. Even when he was here, I never went out.
Oh.
No, I'm not.
That's the thing. When you're in a relationship, you just kind of don't do much, you know. But when you're on your own, you got to go out, you know. You got to. Because otherwise, it's just depressing staying home.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go out even before I met William.
Yeah.
I didn't go out anyways.
Yeah.
Because I'm not one to be trying to go out by myself.
Yeah.
It's corny.
Yeah.
You know, particularly to clubs and stuff.
Nobody goes out by yourself.
I mean, I'll go to a wine bar or something like that by myself. And I'll always meet somebody or something like that and, you know, strike up a conversation.
Yeah.
But now that Tiger, you know, Tiger and I get along so great.
It's really important.
We're like tromping around town. And, and we're not your typical L.A. Hollywood girls at all.
Yeah. I still think you should get it on with her, but that's between you and her. Because you'd have amazing stories. Okay, listen.
You'll be the first to know, Sam.
I'm sure I will. And I can't wait either. No,
I know. I've already spoken to her about that.
Yeah.
I said, you know, Sam is dying for the night that you and I get together.
Exactly.
And she says, yeah, me too.
You see, I told you. So it's up to you now, you know. You're in control of the six, Manu.
I guess I am.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we've got to wrap up because Dr. Michelle's coming, and I want to make sure we set her up and everything. So, everybody have a great weekend. Manu, you have a wonderful weekend.
I will.
And okay, I'm to get into trouble because we need some stories. We need some juicy stories for the show.
You want some juicy stories?
I want juicy stories.
All right. Well, let me see what I can get myself up to.
You think you can do that?
Yeah.
stories. Okay.
Juicy stories.
All right. We'll be waiting. So, if you're still listening, have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday.